Who gonna win?
At this point, I think Uncle Joe again. You lost so happy. You lost.
It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
You know, it kind of sucks that we can't play longer clips of cute little things like that. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to everyone out there. It is August 5th, 2023. Why do I even need to look at the date? SummerSlam is only hours away. People are anticipating. A little coffee, a little tickle in my throat. Did a lot of talk in the last couple of days. What, four, five, six main events tonight? This is going to be a banger. People are trying to get me to join in on the fun that it's going to be SummerSlam versus AEW Collision. I think that's totally unfair. You know, shit's going to happen sometimes. But I understand that sometimes if an AEW show interlaps with a WWE show and the AEW show does well, people want to rub it into people's faces. For me, you know, you enjoy what you want to enjoy, whether you watch SummerSlam live and you tune into Collision later, or you watch Collision live and you tune into SummerSlam later, or maybe you just hate everything and you don't watch anything. So we're going to keep this show simple for various reasons. SummerSlam is upon us. And a lot of what went down on SmackDown Friday night will obviously be in the books once SummerSlam comes and goes. I definitely want to talk about a few things that we saw on SmackDown. We're also got a special episode coming up. I know Kev and I, when we do the Don Tony Kevin Castle show, these special episodes, we've been doing them on Tuesdays. Kev is available Sunday night. So what we decided to do is Kev and I will do the same format at 10 p.m. Sunday night, the 6th of August. We will be on Patreon doing our recap and review of SummerSlam. Patreon.com/DonTony. If you're not a member of our Patreon family, no worries. The episode will be online sometime on Monday. It should be early. I'll probably do it before I crash for the night. So it will be available on DonTony.com and all the audio platforms. And if you haven't checked it out yet, you're truly missing. Honestly, some people are calling this preview and predictions better than our WrestleMania episode that we did. And that episode got insane, insane numbers. So check out the preview and predictions and see how accurate we were. Now, for anybody that is checking this out live, I'm sure there's going to be a replay online if you're interested, but if you are checking this out on Saturday and you are interested, Rhea Ripley is going to be on TikTok live at 3 p.m. Eastern. And from what I understand is, you know, she's going to be on SummerSlam, not wrestling, obviously, but she will be on SummerSlam. And as you realize, you know, she gets a lot of makeup done, you know, for her character when she appears on WWE programming. It's interesting on house shows, she doesn't overload it with the makeup, which, you know, doesn't need it. She's beautiful with or without it. But she will be doing makeup while this TikTok stream is going to be on today. So it's going to be fun. You know, so many fans out there that still think that her and Dominic Mysterio are doing the nasty. You know, hey, that's when you know that wrestlers are doing damn good in their roles. People are convinced. And you know what? Props to Buddy Matthews. Props to Buddy Matthews, who takes it in stride, has some fun with it as well. I think if we ever see the Kiss on TV with Dominic and Rhea, and I'm talking about a kiss, that's probably where it'll start, you know, maybe making some people feel a little bit uncomfortable. So I hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. I hope you whip out the gabagool tonight. Hey, gabagool. Some people say gabagool. I say gabagool. Sweet gabagool. I don't like hot gabagool. All right, check it out. We're going to talk SmackDown a little bit, give you a couple of tidbits regarding SummerSlam, last-minute tidbits. We'll talk about the feds investigating Vince McMahon. I have all the details, and I'll give you the info straight up. I know a lot of people out there seem to have their fingers crossed because of this one. I don't know how it's going to turn up, but I will be straight up honest as far as what I think is going down and what I think will go down. And then we have this. We have this wild lawsuit, this weird, bizarre, $250 million lawsuit that was filed against the WWE and AEW. Now, not only do I have all the court documents, but I also have a little bit of info on the plaintiff. And going through the documents, I'm going to show them to you live on the show as to why this person is suing WWE and AEW for $250 million, excuse me. We're also going to try to call him live on the show, see if he'd like to talk about the lawsuit that he filed. And as I was going through the court documents, which are, you know, you have to subscribe to a pay service to get it. But because I've been doing this since the 90s, I still have some connections here and there where I could kind of like go, you know, around the back of the building and open the rear door and take some of the documents without having to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for it. I found this gem. This will preview what we get into later, what he accuses WWE and AEW doing. I will tell you this right now. It's a funny, hilarious, bizarre lawsuit. But it also will show you something that is beyond fucked up about our country. And anybody that goes back to my hotline days when Captain Lenny used to try to sue me, as long as you got a couple of bucks, you could go to court and sue anybody for anything. And trust me, there's been a lot of cases where people sue other people and the other person don't even really know the other person and they just get the papers in the mail. What the fuck is this? They throw it out and they lose by default. Trust me, this guy ain't winning anything, but I found this gem. Now, for those on audio only, I will read it to you. For those on video, you got a little bit of a treat. This was a motion to seal the case. The plaintiff is Anthony Dwayne Wilson, and I'm not going to reveal his personal information, but even that has a little wild twist to it that I'll share with you in a little bit. But as you could see, he doesn't have Microsoft Word. He doesn't have Adobe. He's got a pen and a paper, and he's going to use it. He requested to the court, and he says, "I, the plaintiff, do not wish for this to be public knowledge to the fans of this industry, further damaging my reputation or the other parties involved. Fans watch for things like this to talk about on their shows." Mr. Wilson with the email address that is based on some fucking volcano eruption from 1883, the Krakatoa. That's wild in itself when you get a little background on Mr. Wilson. But we're not going to go deep there because, you know, we don't want to be assholes about this. But, Mr. Wilson, I have two words for you. Motion denied. You can't tell the court, listen, by the way, you know, I don't want my phone number out there. I don't want my address out there. I don't want my email address out there. I don't want the whole world thinking I'm a whack job. So please keep this sealed. Don't work that way. So, yeah, this gives you. Hey, I will say this. He got some neat handwriting. Let me go. We go back. He got some neat handwriting, you know, neat handwriting, but no, motion denied. No, we will talk about it. We will give him a call later on in the show. Let's see if he picks up the phone and let's see if he wants to talk about it. So, all right. Yeah, his email address, I don't want to give out personal information, but just to give you like a little insight, his email address is a tribute to the 1883 eruption of the Krakatoa volcano in Indonesia. And when you dive a little bit further into this guy's history, he's about 40 years old, and he lives in Ohio. I don't want to go any further than that. But if you search around the net, if you search deep and you know where to look, there's some bizarre things written about this guy. It's pretty wild. So we'll get into that a little bit later. All right. Couple of tidbits regarding SummerSlam. And this, all right, a lot of wrestling fans may not follow MMA. And, you know, the WWE had to, I guess, go a little further to explain what the MMA rules are in the Shayna Baszler-Ronda Rousey match. And basically what the rules are that the only way somebody can win is by making their opponent pass out, tap out, submit, which is the same thing, or get a TKO. They didn't mention anything about disqualification, and if you heard our prediction show, you know why I'm saying the DQ word. But that is the rules. Speaking of rules, we have to talk about it. We got to talk about the rules of what tribal combat is. And yesterday, Paul Heyman comes out during SmackDown. Ladies, if there are any in Ohio, and gentlemen, why, they were in Ohio. I wonder if Anthony Dwayne Wilson was in attendance last night. Ladies, if there are any in Ohio, and gentlemen, and he starts telling us what tribal combat is supposed to be. Now, Paul Heyman's on my top tier of my favorites of all time. Always appreciated everything that he's ever done. But for the first 3 minutes yesterday, all he kept doing is ragging on Jey Uso. That everything is Jey Uso's fault. What happened to Jimmy is Jey Uso's fault. Why we are here is Jey Uso's fault. And I'm like, just tell him what the fuck tribal combat is. And basically what tribal combat is, it's the Viking Raiders rules, if we say it like that. It's basically no DQ. That's really what it is. It's no DQ. But after about 2-3 minutes of nothing by Paul Heyman, and trust me, nothing is entertaining for me. He could talk about glue and I'd be entertained. But he finally points to the Titantron and we get a video package narrated by him. Now, I can't obviously share the video package with you, but I can share with you a couple of clips. I tell you, man, the artwork and the graphics work for this was insane. If you look on the screen, I had to slow it down a little bit. But remember last week when we said we might see face paint? We might see the elders? We might see special weapons? It looks like we may get all of that. But they showed a video, and basically what Paul Heyman was saying was that boys... First of all, he talks about the beads of the Ulafala. Ulafala. That is the necklace that we have talked about in the past. And it was pretty cool because they showed Rikishi. Rikishi was talking about the Ulafala. And then you also had Afa and Sika of the Wild Samoans. You know, I love how they talk in a different language. Yes, they talked in Samoan, but they do speak English. You know, you do speak English, but I love the segment. I love the segment. But then they showed the video, and they showed, and as we're seeing this video, you know, he's talking about how boys have become men. Men become warriors. Warriors become legends. And legends become tribal chiefs. And this, we're seeing Umaga, we're seeing The Rock, we're seeing Roman Reigns. I mean, unbelievable artwork. Unbelievable artwork. And they're showing, you know, the history. I mean, it basically was a retrospect of why Roman Reigns is the tribal chief. Tribal combat, it's basically a street fight. That's really what it is. But you got to admit it, man. All right, maybe the IWC is split about the music that they use for the Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes package that we talked about on Monday. To me, I mean, you'll never hear that song in my computer, my iPod, my streaming playlist. But I know what WWE was trying to do to the drama. The song just sounds dramatic. The guy could have been talking about Taco Bell. It sounded dramatic and it fit. Not the greatest song, but it was good enough. You have to admit, man, the video packages that they did in the last month or two, everything seems to be on an elite level. Everything. I mean, they just released the financials and they did a finance call. We'll talk about that a little bit later because there's some misinformation floating around right now regarding WWE SmackDown looking for a new home. That's clickbait. We'll explain why in a little bit. But their house show attendance is, what, up almost double? 40% from last year? That's fucking insane. That is insane. And AEW, they're doing good as well. You know, yes, for the next 12 months, AEW's statistics as far as house shows and revenue will be skewed because it's almost like the Big Bang Theory lead-in. But instead of it being just a quarter of a two-hour show, it's a lot more than that. Because now if you have nine shows and each show only averages 5,000 and the 10th show had 80,000, now you divide that, that goes to what? Nine shows into 5,000 a show is 45,000 fans. And then you add 80,000 for all in, that's 125,000. You divide 10 shows into 125,000. You tell the world, oh, we're averaging 12,500 at shows. But meanwhile, nine of the shows were 5,000 and the 10th show was 80,000. See how it works? So it's going to be a little skewed for the next 12 months. But you know what? If everybody's making money and fans are entertained, that's what matters at the end of the day. And that's not me trying to be politically correct or anything like that. And by the way, I want to tell everybody right now, as far as the shit going online about the AEW women and about the Lufisto stuff, we'll talk about it a little bit on tomorrow's sit down. Yes, I said tomorrow's sit down. Why? Some of you out there are like, wait a minute, DT. No, no, no. You said that you're doing a DTKC show tomorrow. Yeah, we are. But that's at 10 o'clock. We have to sit down at 8 o'clock tomorrow. So, yes, I will be, my ass will be numb tomorrow. I will be sitting in this seat for about 4 or 5 hours. So, join me for the sit down tomorrow. We'll talk about it. And we'll honestly dissect what's going on with the women in AEW. By the way, Toni Storm, Sheeta, lowest point of the entire viewership for the night. You know, a strong locker room, women supporting each other, women caring about each other. That's beautiful. But, you know, how Tony Khan views women's wrestling in the overall scope of AEW. Yeah, you might get a little bit of change right now because of the extra exposure. But is it really changing in his heart? Is it changing in his fandomhood for the last 20-something years? You know, so that's the problem. And we'll talk about it on Sunday. So getting back to SmackDown. So they show that awesome video package and then Jey Uso comes out there. And Jey Uso, again, being a little bit animated like he's done for the last 2 weeks and the crowd is into it. So you don't change what everybody's into. Then Solo Sikoa comes out and they're going to main event later on in the night, because the only things that were announced to us earlier in the day was Sheamus against LA Knight, which we knew since last week. We were also going to get a couple of video packages hyping up Asuka, Bianca Belair, and Charlotte. The Charlotte one was very interesting. They're all interesting. And then you had Jey Uso taking on Solo Sikoa in the main event of SmackDown. That was scheduled in advance yesterday. So Solo comes out, but their match is not until later on in the night. And for a brief moment, Jey talking to Solo, you're my baby brother. No matter what, I forgive you, you're my baby brother. Then he does to Solo what Cody sort of insinuated, well, he did early on after, you know, leading into WrestleMania. What Sami Zayn did to Jimmy and Jey Uso a while back. That Roman Reigns is feeding you the same lines that he fed me. And Jey is trying to get through to Solo that, look, he's using you. The same shit he's feeding you, you're feeding me. And Paul Heyman tells Jey, I'll knock it off. Solo, you don't actually think. And Solo, once again, doesn't have to say a word. He causes Paul Heyman to stop, shut up. And Solo demands Paul Heyman to get out of the ring. And when Paul Heyman does not do that right away and Solo turns and is almost like, the fuck you doing? Get out of the ring. He gets super kicked again. So that sets up the main event for later on in the night. And, you know, with just going back and forth. And happy 14-month anniversary. Eric Williams, channel member, the family, by the way. Good luck to everybody who participated in the SummerSlam predictions contest. That is that contest is now closed. So as soon as I'm done with this show, I will confirm all the entries and we'll see who wins. Patreon as well. I'm looking forward to SummerSlam 2 as well, Eric. Much love. We'll talk about the Street Profits, Prince. We'll talk about them next. We'll talk about them next. But Jey Uso having a match with Solo Sikoa, Jey Uso wins. And the match immediately went to the outside and, you know, no referee stoppage, no DQ or anything. They brawl, teasing a little bit of action on the announcer's table. Solo takes a dive over it. Towards the latter part in the match, Solo goes for the spike and Jey ducks it. Jey hits Solo with a spear. So now that has become a part of his arsenal and he hit the Samoan splash. Gets the win. Now, I'm looking at the clock right now, last night, and it's 9:56. And yes, SmackDown lately, for a while, goes off the air like 2-3 minutes early. But I'm hoping to myself that, you know what, maybe we are going to get a Roman Reigns appearance. We didn't get one. Right after the match, Solo attacks Jey, and Solo grabs a chair, is about to chair bash Jey, but Jey overcomes Solo, grabs the chair, starts chair bashing him a little bit. Jey goes back in the ring, hits the music, takes his shirt off. Crowd is going nuts. And we go off the air. No confrontation with Roman Reigns. That tells me that I could be wrong, but that tells me that we're going to see a different look. We're going to see some additional fluff as far as, you know, visuals go. That they're keeping this quiet. They're keeping it quiet. So shout out to Neil Ray celebrating 28 months as a channel member. Yes, SummerSlam time. Absolutely looking forward to it. Absolutely looking forward to it. Now, mark this down on your calendar. In 2 weeks on SmackDown, Edge 25-year celebration. If you remember this week in wrestling history that I post every week, we recently celebrated the anniversary of Edge's debut on WWE television. And, you know, I'm going to reveal something. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to reveal something. 1998. I'm doing my wrestling hotline. And at that time, it was just wrestling hotlines. And Edge debuts on TV. I liked his look. Knew very, very little about him prior to WWE. But I remember on my hotline saying, and I'll be honest, and this is 1998, I said, you know, he's got a look. Will he be IC champ one day? Yeah. Could he be a tag champ? Absolutely. Do I ever see him being world heavyweight champ? And I said, I can't picture somebody named Edge becoming world heavyweight champion. It doesn't sound like, it's almost like Test, because at the time, Test was around too. I'm like, could you imagine Howard Finkel saying, you're new World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, Edge. Like, it didn't flow at the time. Boy, was I wrong. I admit it. I could have said here, hey, you know, back in the day, I knew he was going to be heavyweight champion. No, I just didn't feel. I just thought the name was like, Edge? The fuck is an edge? Edge, you know, there's some interesting definitions of edge. We'll leave it there. We will leave it there. All right, let's talk about the Street Profits for a few moments. L.A. Knight and Sheamus, because this kind of leads into the Street Profits, what happened yesterday. It all kind of continued. So let's talk first about L.A. Knight and Sheamus, and then how it led to the Street Profits. L.A. Knight comes out yesterday, opening SmackDown, and he points to the Titantron, and we see this screen. And these are the only people announced so far for the Battle Royal. And it's Sheamus, Karrion Kross, Grayson Waller, Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Riddle, AJ Styles, and The Miz. So he starts running them all down, and he says, it looks like the land of misfit toys. And then he calls them a bunch of stooges. And, hey, you know, he takes pride. You know, if you're a stooge, you know, cool. You know, he's talking about stooges. And, you know, I guess that's kind of like a little flashback to Vince McMahon when he used to have his stooges. But he runs down The Miz. He runs down Sheamus, calling him a halfwit. He gives Sheamus a lot of credit, but he predicts victory in the match tonight. So the match happens, and, you know, it was an okay match. I know people are focusing how LA Knight climbed the middle rope and was supposed to, you know, maybe suplex Sheamus or, you know, take him down, and he slipped off the rope, climbed again, and then went outside the ring. Hey, look, shit happens, man. I'm not making an excuse for LA Knight. I'll make this perfectly clear. I predict and want LA Knight to win this Battle Royal. LA Knight, it's awesome to see what's happening on TV. You know, I'm not going to sit there and make an excuse if he fucks up. It happens to everybody. You know, right away, people are like, oh, look, he's under pressure. He can't handle the pressure. Oh, come on. Seriously? I think that's a little ridiculous. But the match was okay. We had the Brawling Brutes at ringside. And then this happens. While the match is on, here comes Santos Escobar. He comes down to ringside. Remember, he's in the Battle Royal. Then the next thing you know, you look, and here comes The Miz. And here comes Grayson Waller. They come down to ringside. All right, we're not done yet. And by the way, I'm not saying this because he's a friend of the family. But Kross, they figured it out, man. Don't have him come out wearing a wrestling shirt. Wear the muscle shirt. When he was around ringside, people, I saw it all over the net, like, holy shit, he looks like a monster. Yeah, you wear the extremely tight muscle shirt, and he looks like this. Yeah, it was great the way he looked. Yeah, but we're not done. That's like a rap song. We're not done. We're not done. Then we get AJ Styles coming out with Meechan. There's your AJ Styles. And here's where I thought it was a little bit of wrestle crap. We know the feud between AJ Styles and Kross. So I'm thinking, okay, AJ Styles is going to come down the ringside. And yes, these are all the people for the Battle Royal. But the minute I see Kross, I want to beat the fuck out of him. AJ goes to the other side of the ring, cheering on LA Knight. And I'm like, wait a minute. You want to get your fucking hands around Kross's neck, and he just strolls around ringside. Yes, I know this is creative's decision to do that. But I looked at that, and I'm like, wow, that looks ridiculous. Ultimately, at the very end, AJ Styles finally goes after Kross. But even after the match was over, if you watch closely, Kross is going at it I think he was going after Butch. Well, he was going after one of the Brawling Brutes, but not even AJ Styles. And I'm like, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. But what ends up happening is they have the match. Sheamus hits a really nice white noise off the middle rope for a two. And then Austin Theory comes down. Austin Theory nails Santos Escobar because they have their match next week. So now Brawl breaks out at ringside. And again, no AJ Styles and Cross at this time. Everybody else is brawling, but they're not brawling with each other. So somehow The Miz ends up on the ring apron and Sheamus 10 shots to the chest of The Miz. And LA Knight attempts a fruit roll-up. Sheamus breaks out of it, then goes to hit a bro kick on LA Knight. LA Knight moves out of the way and The Miz eats the bro kick. So Sheamus, not paying attention to LA Knight, LA Knight hits the blunt force trauma for the win. Right after the match is over, Grayson Waller and Karrion Kross hit the ring, and LA Knight tosses Karrion Kross over the top rope and then gets out of Dodge. Now you see AJ Styles and Karrion Kross going at it a little bit, and they will have another match on SmackDown next week. So the match is over. Here's where it leads to the Street Profits. We go to commercial. Oh, and by the way, I thought this was pretty cool. For those that are curious, Sheamus was getting jeered by the fans. LA Knight, obviously massively over, and Sheamus playing it up a little bit, putting his fingers in his ears, playing up a little bit as a heel. He was a full-blown heel or getting, you know, booed by the fans, but they obviously were on the side of LA Knight. It was a fun match, absolutely fun match. So after we go to commercial and we come back, the Brawling Brutes and the OC are arguing in the back. So now I think the Brawling Brutes will be in a battle royal. Probably the OC will be in a battle royal. But they're arguing. We get a brief stare down with AJ Styles and Sheamus. This might be their next feud. They may actually end up with their next feud. This might be your next feud, everybody. But they're in the back arguing. Yes, and if you look at this photo, there's Adam Pearce in the background. Adam Pearce. Now, you only see Sheamus and AJ Styles in that picture. Right before it, the OC and the Brawling Brutes all yelling, and Adam Pearce is like, if you want to go, go to the ring and go. So now we realize we're getting the OC versus the Brawling Brutes, Ridge Holland and Butch. In fact, the more I think about it, I think it was Cross was fighting with Ridge Holland. I do remember two big guys, but we didn't get the AJ Styles till the very end of it. So now they're going to have a tag match, Ridge Holland and Butch versus Gallows and Anderson. The match is going on, and, you know, we're thinking, okay, you know, where is this going to lead? And then all of a sudden, we get a no contest because two guys hit the ring. One nailed Ridge Holland, and the other one nailed Carl Anderson. And it was Montez Ford and who I thought was Mark Jackson. If anybody remembers Mark Jackson before he gained 50 pounds when he used to be on the New York Knicks, I fucking loved Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, I don't remember. I think he went to St. John's University. And right before I went to St. John's University, but I only lasted for 2 weeks, and then I dropped out. I don't know. Angelo Dawkins is looking a little bit more and more like Mark Jackson to me. But they come out there. Then they end up attacking both guys. They're serious. They're dressed. Actually, Montez Ford, no tie for Montez. Angelo Dawkins looks more dressed than Montez Ford. The funny thing is that when I go to like weddings and stuff like that, I don't like wearing ties. And I dress more like how Montez does. But the reason why I dress like Montez Ford is not because I want to look like Montez Ford. It's because I'm fat and I look skinnier wearing a black shirt. And I have a nice chain. I don't like wearing ties. My neck is too big. So they come out and they're very serious. They're very angry. In fact, if you took a shot every time we saw Montez Ford going like this, he did that multiple times, everybody. So that's going to be the new thing. Me angry. So the crowd is cheering. The crowd popped for the Street Profits. They liked what they saw. Then they go down the rampway. Bobby Lashley shows up. And everybody is thinking, they turn heel? They turn heel? I mean, they attack both guys. We don't know. It's still too early. It's still too early. But the crowd is chanting, Bobby, Bobby. And then they're on the rampway, and Montez Ford again, like this. And then we get a backstage shot, and as you will see, well, that's too small. That's more like it. That's Montez Ford's new look now. Just growling, snarky. But, come on, man, Angelo Dawkins looks good. I like it. I like the choice of colors. Bobby Lashley enjoying it as well. Is this the new Hurt Business? Don't know. I don't know if they will even be called the Hurt Business. Omos, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander are not the Hurt Business. We have seen no sign of MVP with this. So, who knows? Maybe we have two factions united. Remember, Omos, Cedric, and Shelton, I believe, are on Raw. And you got the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley on SmackDown. So maybe this is one extended family. But I think it's a little bit too soon to say that they're heels. Yeah, it feels like they're heels because they're no longer wanting to smoke. And yeah. See, I don't have a red cup. I have a cup of coffee. But, you know, yeah. You know, we're not getting that. So people think like, wow, they're more serious. They must be heels. I think it's a little bit too soon. We'll see where it goes. Remember something. Something to think about. Montez Ford and Bianca Belair, and I know you probably didn't read it anywhere because nobody reports their own news. They have to cut and paste everywhere. In case you're curious, I'm sure there's a video package online from it. They were on Entertainment Tonight on Friday. I watched it. I saw the whole segment. And Bianca Belair, big piece on her. But Montez Ford was interviewed as well, and he came across as, you know, a legit star. Somebody that could cross over into Hollywood. I mean, he's got the look, obviously. His wrestling ability is incredible. But on Entertainment Tonight, they did a nice video on both of them. They have an upcoming reality show that is going to debut on Peacock. I think a lot of people probably still don't even know that that's happening. This reality show, I don't want to compare it to Cody and Brandy, but this reality show is going to be a pretty big deal. So, you know there's going to be a lot of red carpet stuff. You know there's going to be a lot more interviews. You know there's going to be a lot more appearances. And yes, we see heels make appearances as well. Let's make it clear. So it doesn't mean that heels cannot do, you know, press, you know, appearances. But I think this reality show is going to make Montez Ford even more as a babyface or legit. You have him as an asshole heel on TV, but then you're watching a reality show and it's the opposite, kind of sends mixed messages. So I think this reality show, you know, you got to keep that in the back of your mind as far as where this proceeds from here. I tell you one thing that's cool about this, and I think we'll all agree, the Street Profits are not splitting up anytime soon. And I think that's a good thing because right now, it's like what I said about LA Knight with that briefcase. Sorry for repeating it. But when everybody and their mother was online bitching and saying, oh, LA Knight, he fucking was supposed to win Money in the Bank. No, he wasn't. That was all fans hoping and insisting that he won, and he didn't. And if LA Knight would have won that briefcase, do you think that he would have confronted Roman Reigns by now? In the midst of the bloodline, the civil war, tribal combat, tribal this, tribal that, falling out, the Usos, Solos, down the line. You think LA Knight is going to start cutting promos on Roman Reigns and kind of like throw a monkey wrench in there? And then the fans are online like, yeah, yo, fuck the bloodline stuff. We're bored of it. Put LA Knight versus Roman Reigns. No, they weren't going to do that. You weren't going to put LA Knight on Raw and tease it with Seth Rollins. You could have done it for one or two Raw appearances, but if they wanted LA Knight on Raw, he would have been drafted to Raw. So having the briefcase is great. But what you do with it after is a whole nother thing. And LA Knight was going to do gots with that briefcase. That's something that people didn't think about. So, speaking of briefcase, okay, we did have something hokey yesterday. Grayson Waller effect with Bayley and Io Sky, damage control. They're out there, and Grayson Waller wants to talk to Io Sky. Now, Grayson Waller didn't get the memo that Io Sky doesn't speak much of English, but Grayson Waller asked Io Sky, you know, are you going to cash in the briefcase at SummerSlam? Come on, we want to know. We want the scoop. And just before Io Sky was about to talk, Bayley grabs the mic. And if Io Sky was Montez Ford, Io Sky would have been like this to Bayley. Bayley grabs the mic and Bayley talks about how that Io Sky, she's ready to, and she goes on a rant, and Io Sky's not happy because Bayley's doing all the talking. And while this is going on, Bayley, you hear Shotzi's voice, and Bayley starts freaking out. Bayley goes and leaves the ring, and Grayson Waller's laughing his ass off, and Grayson Waller reveals that he played a joke on Bayley. He played the clip. And Bayley's like, don't you ever do that again, don't you? And then all of a sudden, Shotzi's music hits. And Bayley thinks, okay, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But no, we see the tank coming down the rampway. But we can't actually see Shotzi's face all that much because the helmet and the tank, you know, the barrel is blocking the view. So Io Sky looking like this, like, who is it? Bayley sends Io Sky to run after Shotzi. So Io Sky leaves the ring. Io Sky leaves the ring. Bayley is in the ring, and she's watching the rampway. Then all of a sudden, Shotzi hits the ring. Now, her look has been on WWE's website for several days. This is Shotzi's new render, if anybody that's interested. That's Shotzi right now with the short hair. I got to be honest with you, I think it looks excellent. I think it looks spectacular. I think it makes her look, appear almost like a totally different character. Amazing difference. Honestly, it's a unique look. Yes, she had green hair, but you know what? Especially the fact that she did it in tribute to her sister, that's good enough for me. She did it in tribute to her sister. But the look, she looks good. But we had a little bit of crap last night. Bayley is in the ring, and Shotzi shows up. Bayley realizes, she feels that Shotzi is behind her. Grayson Waller looks all concerned as well. And Bayley slowly turning around. She turns around, and Shotzi nails her with a punch. And when Bayley goes down, Shotzi grabs clippers out of her waist bag. And I don't know, man. I just thought it was hokey because, no, they did not mic up the clippers. Shotzi, you know, trying to, like, go, like, visibly show that she's turning it on like this. And all of a sudden, in the entire building, you hear zzzz. And Shotzi tries to grab Bayley, and I have a little of it. I could show you a couple of seconds. Uh-oh! Watch. So you hear it all in the building. And now, all right, maybe there was a microphone in the ring and the microphone picked up the blade, you know, loud. But then Shotzi runs up the rampway, and as you will see on your screen, we still hear the fucking razor. So she chases her in the building, and then we find out that Zelina Vega was riding the tank. So Zelina Vega is now going to have a match with Io Sky, having a basic match. And the next thing you know, here comes Bayley and Zelina, and Shotzi, and they're still chasing each other. This is like 3 or 4 minutes later. And the funny thing is that, you know, she drops the razor, and you hear in the building, still. And then finally, Shotzi picks up the razor on the rampway, and it turns off. And she's like this, even though it was already off. It was just whoever did that. I know you want to enhance it, but it was that sound effect was just annoying, man. That was annoying. But what ends up happening is Io Sky is watching this from the middle rope. She's standing on the middle rope looking down the rampway. She's not paying attention to Zelina Vega. So when Bayley runs off again with Shotzi, here comes Zelina Vega. She picks up Io Sky and hits her with a powerbomb. And then she nails the Code Red, and Zelina Vega defeats Io Sky. So the losing streak for Io Sky continues. It continues. You know, it was a little goofy. I mean, you know, the razor thing got a little annoying. I wouldn't have minded it if they just did it in the ring. But when they were running up the rampway in the back 3-4 minutes later, we could still hear it. And then they're running around the crowd, and we still hear it. You know, it was a little goofy, but whatever. That's what they do. Austin Theory cuts a promo, talks about the match next week with Santos Escobar. Yesterday he had a match with Cameron Grimes. Basically what happened in this match, Cameron Grimes had most of the offense, had almost all of the offense. Santos Escobar tried to come down the rampway. The official stopped him, so Austin Theory is mocking Santos, but that allows Cameron Grimes to nail some of his moves. He hits the cave-in, but when Cameron Grimes rolls up Austin Theory, he rolled him up. Kind of like, if you didn't see the match, kind of like, remember when Hogan rolled up the Iron Sheik, locked his hands, and you know, like Sheik wasn't breaking it? He rolled up Austin Theory and locked it, and it was so strong, the roll-up. Like you saw, like there's no way Austin Theory is going to kick out. But Cameron Grimes was too close to the ropes, and when he rolled Austin Theory a little too much, Austin Theory's feet got caught in the ropes. So the match continued. Very end of the match, Cameron Grimes still has almost all of the offense. Cameron Grimes climbs the top rope. Austin Theory shakes the rope. Grimes gets crotched. And then Austin Theory with the 8-town down gets the win, and then Santos shows up and lays him out. So that's pretty much what we had on SmackDown. We did have video packages for Charlotte, Bianca Belair, and Asuka. Now, I can't show them, obviously. I don't want to get hit with copyrights, but they showed Charlotte on a yacht, drinking champagne. You know, it felt like a Ric Flair promo, but, you know, living in excess. And she talks about how she is, you know, the leader of the women's division. She is the Iron Woman. She's dependable, reliable. She puts over how Bianca Belair dominated the last 2 years on the women's roster, but she's dominated her whole career. And they kind of keep the focus off of Asuka a little bit. I mean, Asuka was mentioned in both of their promos, especially Bianca, because she lost the belt to Asuka. But Asuka, they just basically showed her, like, kickboxing, you know, working the bag. You know, she could do, like, interesting things with her tongue. She spits the mist. I mean, Asuka looked like a maniac, but everything worked. Basically, what these video packages did was Asuka is a fighter, and she will spit the mist if she needs to. Charlotte lives in excess, and she's royalty, and that's why she should be on top. And Bianca Belair, showing how hard she trains and fights, and she never gives up, and the match is happening. Now, yes, I did see all the controversy online about, you know, oh, the women don't get a fair shake. You know, this is the annual tradition. When I grew up, the annual tradition was Survivor Series. It's the Thanksgiving tradition. The yearly tradition now is, oh, you know, the women don't get enough time. As we said last week, the week before, last year's SummerSlam, 2 women's matches out of 8. 5 years ago, 2 women's matches out of 13. 10 years ago, I think there was 1 women's match. You know, it is what it is. You know, this oh, we insist equality. It's not being sexist. It's about business. It's about business. There is a balance. And as we've been talking about, and again, we'll talk about it on Sunday a little bit more, and we'll maybe lead it into Wednesday. But, you know, when the women do get the time, WWE puts all the effort into it. And people can make whatever excuses they want about Trish and Becky not being on the show or Rhea Ripley not having a match or anything like that. What you're getting is what you got a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're getting more now than we did beyond 10 years ago. You know, it's just people out there that, you know, insist, no, equality. You know, and it's not happening. It's not happening. That's why WWE never did an all-women's TV show, because if the ratings tank, what kind of messages is that sent to the women's division? You look at AEW, the women being strong and tight in the locker room and caring about each other, I don't deny that. I don't dispute that at all. But at the end of the day, on perception on TV, AEW, Tony Khan, does not give as much effort for the women's division. We joked about it for the last month. Chris Statlander's run is turning into the Jade Cargill run. Chris Statlander fights random person. After random person ends, somebody comes down the rampway, talks smack to Chris Statlander, or maybe does worse, lays her out, boom, next week, they have a match. And then she overcomes the match, and then we get nothing, and then we get a promo in the week after, and then a week after that, she fights random person. Then after random person, somebody shows up on the video, or somebody comes out and attacks her, and then boom, next match, pay-per-view or TV. And that's the Jade Cargill run. And when people see that, I don't care how tremendous these women perform, people can tell that as far as AEW goes, they give a little time, and that's it. They give a little effort, and that's it. The women upon themselves maximize it as much as they can. But if you're watching a TV show and you know that they're not going to be the center of attention, you could main event them on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. You could have them close out Dynamite. It still was the lowest rated part of the show. Sheeta versus Toni Storm was excellent. But that perception amongst fans that Toni Khan, and that's why everybody kisses up Toni Khan, because what are you going to do? Piss him off? And then he treats it even less. So, you know, we'll talk about it. But this controversy about WWE not using all the women is, no. It's nonsense. It's not. And you know what? Most of the women on that roster know it as well. They know the deal. And it's just part of the wrestling business. You can't book based on pleasing certain genders. You have to book based on what brings you the most money to the table, the most ratings, brings you the most attention. And a lot of these women, compared to 10 years ago, if the women are strong, they will get more airtime if the ratings and the revenue and the ticket sales and the attention, you know, just because you tweet about it doesn't put money in WWE's pocket. So maybe they do in some ad revenue. But all right, so that's pretty much SmackDown yesterday. I'm looking at my notes. I don't think there's anything else. So next week, Theory versus Escobar for the United States Championship. AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. In 2 weeks from now, we have the 25-year celebration of Edge. I got to share this with you. Yesterday, Level Up results. Trust me, I'll show you something in a minute. Idris Inofi and Malik Blade over Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Iwe. Fallon Henley over Izzy Dame. Miles Bourne over Trey Bearhill. And Gigi Dolan over Tatum Paxley. Speaking of Tatum Paxley, you'll get a kick out of this. As you know, I write, you know, to WWE, NXT, AEW, that if they could send, you know, a couple of autographs or something that I could give away on the shows, you know, I'd appreciate it. I would never sell them on eBay. And I get mostly NXT stuff. We've talked about it in the past. Shotzi, Mandy Rose, Liv Morgan, mostly the women are the most generous sending photos. So I got an envelope on Thursday and I opened it up yesterday night and it's from Florida and it's from, you know, the NXT. And it was some autographed photos to give away on some future shows. And there was a couple in there from Tatum Paxley. And I had to show this to you just so you could get a kick out of it. So if you're curious how her autograph looks, this is something that we've talked about a lot in the last couple of years, that it seems with a lot of WWE talent especially, you know, there's a decent number of them that get extremely lazy. If you've ever seen The Undertaker's autograph, it's beautiful. If you see, like, even Shawn Michaels, I mean, the earliest one that I kind of was like, well, I was kind of lazy, is when Triple H used to sign, and he would just be the H three times. But even Big E, I have autographs from Big E when he was Big E Langston, and he used to write it all across. Then all of a sudden, it just became, you know, Big E. Okay, that's not a big deal. Then you would have someone that would just put like a letter or two, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is just two R's. If you ever get an autograph from Roman Reigns, it's two R's. This is the autographs that I got from Tatum Paxley. That's how she autographs it. She basically prints the letters P-A-X. I'm not criticizing Tatum Paxley, but, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you're an up-and-coming star. You're giving away some autographs. You know, put a nice little autograph. It just P-A-X. Yeah, so I just figured I'd share. I think you'd get a kick out of it. Rampage yesterday. We had the parking lot fight. That was recorded at Daly's place. It was not part of the taping from Wednesday. But the Blackpool Combat Club, Moxley and Claudio, they beat the Best Friends. Anna Jay over Sky Blue. Swerve Strickland and AR Fox over Logan Cruz and Tashawn Perez. And the Hardys and Keith Lee, they defeated the Butcher, the Blade, and Kip Sabian. And apparently the Hardys and the Young Bucks are going to be wrestling on Wednesday's Dynamite. So we'll get into the preview on Monday. But Dynamite this past Wednesday scored 894. Just a drop down from the 898 the week prior. Decent number. No issues there. And then Collision for tonight, going up against SummerSlam, we have Chris Statlander versus Mercedes Martinez for the Women's Championship. We have FTR versus Big Bill and Brian Cage for the tag titles. We have CM Punk defending the Real World Championship against Ricky Starks. And the Acclaimed will talk. Oh, by the way, Ricky Steamboat will be the outside enforcer. He will not be in the ring. I mean, he'll probably end up in the ring and maybe he'll just do the three count. But for the most part, Ricky Steamboat will be outside the ring. They used a nice photo of Ricky Steamboat from about 10 years ago. But Ricky, I don't think physically, maybe he can. I saw something from him about a year and a half ago. And, you know, Ricky's up there in age. You know, nothing wrong with that. God bless him. But Ricky will be appearing as well. So that's what we have later on tonight. All right. So, how long have we gone, Sabo? We've gone exactly 1 hour. Let's talk about three more things. Let's talk about sex, baby. No, let's talk about Vince. Let me tell you something very quickly about SmackDown and its future. And let's talk about this $250 million lawsuit. First off, I did see all the news reports. I don't want to say what newsletter it originated from, but it was a cute exaggeration of something that Nick Khan said. If you remember the original comments by Nick Khan negotiating Raw and SmackDown, and if you remember the business world talking about it, remember you had all these websites, wrestling sites, teasing that Amazon might have SmackDown. Disney might have it. WWE is discussing this. Turner, WarnerMedia, my dad. The real world, and I don't mean the MTV show, the real business world said that it's normal for TV networks to pitch their product to a whole bunch of different networks. But at the end of the day, USA Network and Fox are still the front runners. And yeah, there's always a high number. That's how you negotiate. You put a high number out there. I ain't paying that shit. The fuck out of here. And then you negotiate. The TV deal that Fox made with WWE a couple of years ago, that deal, if you look at the early articles, what WWE wanted was more. And they negotiated. Shout out to Neil Ray. He gifted a Don Tony Show membership. So I don't know how that works. I don't know if it just randomly goes to someone or Neil gets to pick it. I will tell you this. I tried to gift some memberships on the live shows. Apparently, I can't do it. Like, the host can't do it. It's random. Okay, very cool. So, Neil, thank you for that. It was very, very kind of you. But getting back to SmackDown, you start with a high number and then you negotiate. So I want to read you what Nick Khan said in the latest investment call, because you'll understand that the reports going around that WWE SmackDown's looking for a new home, that's clickbait. Yes, SmackDown could end up off Fox. I'm not denying that at all. But this is normal for negotiations. Nick Khan said, and I quote, listen to this closely. Last time, having been across that negotiation, the starting prices of where we were for Raw and SmackDown were far less than the starting prices now, which means deeper and longer conversations. All of those conversations have been productive. We remain quite optimistic in terms of time. I've often said in negotiations, you could control a lot of the process. You can never control the timing of the negotiation. We feel they're in full force with a robust product that seems to have quite the high ratings and relevancy at the moment. We think the results be what we expect and hope they will be. All he's saying is, what we negotiated before and now, the numbers now are higher. WWE is in a much better place now than they were 3 years ago. Think 3-4 years ago. I mean, believe it or not, COVID was 2020. I mean, we're approaching almost 4 years in the start of COVID. So you look at WWE years ago, of course WWE feels, wait, we deserve more. And the networks are like, oh, we're already losing money. Yeah, but you'd be losing a hell of a lot more money if it. So this is negotiations. That's all it is. Remember this, and I'm sorry for being a dick to other wrestling news sites. These are the same geniuses that told you that at the WarnerMedia upfronts in New York City months ago that AEW is going to sign a 5-year, $1.2 billion deal. Whatever happened with that? I take pride. We were the only show that said, wait a minute, they don't do that at upfronts. They thought it was like an NBA contract. Like LeBron was getting a 5-year contract with AEW, estimated $1.2 billion. That's all that is. So Nick Khan said this, and it's more than what it was before. So somebody came out with the magic $700 million number. That's just like the magic $1.2 billion number for AEW. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. These people, notice how wrestling sites put that out there, but the real business world does not. The real business world never put out their $1.2 billion. They never put out 5 years. They never put down anything about that at the WarnerMedia upfronts. And they didn't like, oh, wow, we don't see WWE on the Fox schedule for 2 years. Ah! Yeah, that's because they haven't done a new deal yet. Of course they're not going to advertise. What? Do you imagine WWE, what the fuck, advertising us for next year, though? We haven't worked out a deal yet. People don't think on their own. So, as far as WWE looking for a new home for SmackDown, that's the exact words that people are reporting right now. What does that mean? That means that that's it. They're gone. They're gone from Fox. They're looking for a new home. That means they're gone. If I'm looking for a new home and I still live here, all right, well, I'm looking for a new home because I want to move. That's not what WWE is reporting, so don't buy into it. All right. Also, we got to clear up something else with Vince McMahon. No, this is not defending Vince McMahon. And believe me, originally when I made this thumbnail, I put an FBI agent in the Love Connection box. But the FBI agents, they look very plain because I wanted to make it look like Vince was going to try to buy the FBI so they don't investigate him. So I decided, why not? Let's put Lori Lightfoot in there in place. Imagine Vince McMahon and Lori Lightfoot. That would be interesting. No, but the deal is this, okay? First of all, and I saw a recap of Eric Bischoff on a podcast where Eric Bischoff said, I'm shocked that he was indicted. And I'm like, where did he get that from? So I started to search. It's not Eric Bischoff's fault. I started to search. I read a transcript and bringing up the word indictment. I searched the net. And you got these bullshit wrestling news sites saying that the feds, they subpoenaed WWE. They had a search warrant. And Vince is indicted. Vince McMahon has not been indicted of anything. Vince McMahon has not been arrested for anything. This has not been put in front of a grand jury yet. So if you read the I word floating around, that is a blatant lie. And again, people put that shit out there. Other people read it and they're like, oh my God, he was indicted. It's bullshit. Here is, in simple, straight up English, what's going on with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, and I'm being neutral about this, Vince McMahon paid almost $20 million to women over the years after being accused of sexual assault, sexual abuse. You can't just buy your way out of trouble, especially when people think, oh, you know, he's close with Trump and it's not. I don't care about the politics side of it. When you're a pig and you cheat and you sleep around, and in that, and I've said this many times on these shows, we cannot relate to Vince McMahon. We cannot relate to some of the women that he gets involved with. We cannot relate to the millionaires and billionaires world. When you hear casting couches, you know, people make it seem like, holy shit, wow, that's fucked up. Anybody with a casting couch should be arrested. I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of men and women that would be like, yeah, I'll go on the couch, man. Yeah, I get that fucking role. You bet your sweet ass I'll do it. So, you know, it's a fucked up thing, but there are people that are willing to do it. Honestly, how many men or women out there right now, guys, that are 77 years old that you would, you know, you would sleep with? Seriously, how many? Very, very few, probably. So when you see Vince involved with people and it's a fling, it's a one-night stand, you know, you got to look at both sides. It's not always forcible, but do I think Vince McMahon used his position of power to get laid? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did women put him in a position to threaten to sue him and expose him? Do you remember the wrestler who right before that billion-dollar deal with Saudi Arabia, that this person went to Vince and a lot of people felt that this woman blackmailed him, that I'm going to tell all unless you pay me, and he paid $10 million, whatever it was. Remember the rumors? I'm not going to get into it. My point is this. When it happens one time, two times, three times, five times, seven times. And you see this pattern. The feds want to look at it. When you have a billion-dollar company, a publicly traded company, spending $10, $15 million on an investigation, even if Vince, I pay it back, feds want to look at it. The feds want to see if he committed crimes. Just because you write a check doesn't make it go away. Kevin Castle used to say this beautiful phrase, you can't cancel 911. If I punch your mother out and break her teeth and put her in the hospital and I say, here's a check for $10,000, buy your mom new teeth. Please don't press charges against me. And you give the money to your mom and you don't press charges. The cops find out that I punched the mother in the mouth and broke her teeth. I could write $1 million. Doesn't mean I didn't commit a crime. Crimes are not based on if you buy your way out of it. So I will say this. It'll be fucking hilarious if Vince McMahon gets arrested and is charged with something and he paid all that money out anyway. Could you just imagine it? I should have never paid him, damn it. Should have never paid him a dime. Like, he paid all that money and he still got in trouble. So what the feds did was they sent subpoenas. And listen, if this was something, take note of something that nobody brought up. And I'm not, I don't like name dropping, but not even Meltzer, Wade Keller, anybody else brought it up. Let me bring up something right now. Take note how none of them pointed out that this was not revealed to the stockholders the day it happened. Take note that it took an SEC filing for people to find out about it. Let that sink in for a minute. You're a publicly traded company. You don't tell your stockholders that day that the FBI subpoenaed all this stuff. You know, people keep having this cute little thing like there's a mole in WWE that's feeding stuff to the feds and feeding stuff to the Wall Street Journal and feeding stuff to this place. If that was true, that shit would have been fed the day the FBI showed up. Nothing was brought up. So I'm not downplaying this at all. I think Vince McMahon could get his ass in a lot of trouble. Right now, the feds want to see what he was actually accused of. Yes, we know about Rita. We know about Rita Chatterton, what happened, the accusations from the 80s. Trust me, the feds knew about that 15 plus years ago. But the other ones, they want to see what exactly the investigation found. When the investigation completed, and Vince, they really didn't find anything of as far as, look, is Vince guilty of being a pig and, you know, an unfaithful husband? Yeah. Did he commit crimes? The investigation did not find any. So the feds want to look at it to make sure. That's what's going on. That is what's going on. Yeah, I appreciate everybody online talking about it. You know, there are people out there who want Vince in jail. They hate Vince. They hate his creative. They hate his association with Trump. They hate him as a person. They hate everything about Vince McMahon. They are irate that he will remain in control when the Endeavor deal goes through. So this is their Hail Mary. This is their Hail Mary. Oh, my God, please, I hope the Fed. But people out there going the extra mile and accusing and trying to make it seem like, you know, things have already happened when it hasn't. That's why, do you remember, what was that, what was the news outlet out there? They went on Busted Open. Anybody remember what news outlet was? They went on Busted Open and they said that they couldn't believe that this didn't have more, like this didn't get more press. They were like disappointed that it didn't get more exposure. And they wanted this to turn into this, I think it might've been the Wall Street Journal. Not sure. But I remember when they said those words, like, you know, we're kind of surprised that this hasn't. Oh, I know. I remember what they said. Didn't get more traction. Because they're hoping for a certain outcome. So that's the deal, everyone. Vince McMahon made a statement, and WWE did as well. WWE's statement was, quote, "We believe this is a continuation of the investigation that commenced last summer. WWE has cooperated and fully understands and respects the government's need for a complete process. In 2022, WWE formed a special committee to review allegations of misconduct against me." This is what Vince McMahon's statement. "That review was concluded in November of 2022 following an extensive investigation. Throughout this experience, I have always denied any intentional wrongdoing and continue to do so. I am confident that the government's investigation will be resolved without any findings of wrongdoing." The magic word, intentional. Intentional. That's what the feds have to look for. Did he intentionally abuse anybody? Remember what I said? This is a horrible example, but it's the best way I could explain it in our lives, how we would deal. You go to a club. You lie to a girl or a guy because you want to get laid. You tell us, oh, I'm a talent agent. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. Oh, could you get me a movie role? I'll see what I can do. Hey, let's go to my place and discuss it. And you end up sleeping with the person and you lied about everything. And then that person finds out that you're not a talent agent. You work at Burger King. You got no connections. You know, you live in your mom's basement. That person can't turn around and call the cops and say, he abused me. He lied. He manipulated me and he tricked me into having sex with him. No, you, as famous rappers have said in the past, you played yourself. You played yourself. They, unfortunately, bad experience at the club. So they want to see if Vince McMahon intentionally did something to take advantage of someone. That is the story. Not going to clickbait it. Decided to put a thumbnail to be a little bit comedic about it. Because this is sad that we have to even talk about it. It is sad, it is ridiculous, it is unnecessary, but we have to. So that is your Vince. So now, I got to connect my Bluetooth. Because I have my cell phone. And we will absolutely try to call this guy in a few moments. The one that's suing WWE and AEW. Let me just turn my Bluetooth off and on. Just give me 2 seconds. Bluetooth. There's the Bluetooth. There we go. We're connected. Get yourself connected. All right. My phone. We will type in the number. Actually, you know what? I will type in, you know, we'll type in the number after. All right. For those on video, I ask you, go look at your screen. For those on audio, I'm going to read some of this. We have a little bit of fun. We're going to go over this $250 million lawsuit filed against the WWE and against AEW. This is worth doing a little dive into. This was filed on August 2nd. I think it would, the application was July 31st, but it was filed August 2nd. In District Court, Northern District of Ohio, in Youngstown. And it was filed by someone by the name of Anthony Dwayne Wilson. As I said earlier, I believe he's 40 years old. Don't want to put the town that he lives in, but he lives in Ohio, different jurisdiction. But he filed this in court. Now, one thing I want to tell you right up front. People are going to ask, DT, how much does this cost to do this? From what I gather, it cost them about $400. All right, it's a pretty penny. But when you're suing for $250 billion, $400 is, hey, I got paid. Maybe I could get paid, made, and laid. That was a vintage WWE shirt. $400, I think $402 to be exact. There'll be more fees. He has no lawyer. Let me point that out right away. He has no attorney. So I want to share with you what he is accusing WWE and AEW of doing. And after we go through it, I will give him a call. Let's see if he answers. Let's see what his reaction is to this. So we go. He files the complaint for the civil case. Sorry for putting my logo on there. We wanted to leave out his personal information. Look, the guy's a whack job, in my opinion, but I don't want to put his public information out there. So he sues WWE. Now, this could be done online, by the way, and obviously he doesn't have Microsoft Word or Adobe or any type of type program, so he filled this all in by hand. He sued World Wrestling Entertainment, located in Stamford, Connecticut. He sued All Elite Wrestling, who is focused out of Jacksonville, Florida. And we get to the juicy stuff. Okay. His basis for this lawsuit is the U.S. copyright law, Title 17, Sections 1 through 8 and 10 through 12. Trust me when I promise you, this gets pretty amazing in a moment. I just want you to see all the papers. So here it comes. Here's where the fun comes in. How much is he suing for? If it is more than $75,000, explain why. He is suing for $250 billion, accusing plagiarism, market damages, product damages, personal damages, and financial damages. So now the court wants him to write a short and plain statement of this claim. So we get to WWE. I know, trust me, I think Dr. Evil when I hear that. $250 billion. So he's got to give a little statement as to why he's filing this claim. First, he talks about WWE. WWE, its contractors and employees, have on multiple dates used my creative works without permission, infringing on my wrestling gimmicks, names, slogans, and likeness. And then he states briefly the relief that he is asking for. Oh, trust me, AEW's is a doozy. The AEW stuff is priceless. So the relief that he wants, and it says, state briefly and precisely what damages you're asking the court to order. Do not make legal arguments. He goes on to make legal arguments. He says, and I quote, market damages, product damages, personal damages, financial damages. WWE and AEW, he put on AEW, but it's supposed to be and AEW, are still using stolen infringing works of mine, claiming that they credited me these things and are not crediting, oh no, claiming they credited these things and not crediting me or paying for them, many of which are not for sale. This will follow me my entire career. This has cost me work outside of professional wrestling and inside professional wrestling. These things have, I don't know what that word is, but we continue. We'll get back to it. We continue. So now he gets to All Elite Wrestling. All Elite Wrestling, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Now he has to explain why he's suing All Elite Wrestling. And this is what he says. This is the first part about it. Okay. AEW, its contractors and employees, have on multiple dates used my creative works without permission, infringing on my wrestling gimmicks, names, slogans, and likeness. I was starting a professional wrestling company and asked the Bullet Club members to join me in the venture of starting my company. They stole these plans from me and my social media pages and cut me out without giving credit or a portion I'm entitled to as the creator. Yes, he actually wrote that. Now, the relief that he wants for AEW. This gets crazier, everyone. Here's his relief. market damages, product damages, personal damages, financial damages. WWE and AEW are still using my infringing works of mine, claiming they created these things and not crediting me or paying for them, many of which are not for sale. This will follow me on my entire... I know this sounds like the other, but it continues. This has cost me work outside of professional wrestling and inside professional wrestling. These things have cost me fans on, I don't know what that is, me fans, and in time, several of these infringements were done maliciously to damage my reputation in career, attempting to embarrass me on and waste my time. He keeps saying on waste my time. It's and waste my time. I am a writer and a professional wrestler. My creative works are my livelihood. From my research, I was informed if you outcast an original partner or the creator, control of the company belongs to the exiled party. I'm seeking control of All Elite Wrestling and removal of stolen works, a public apology on a financial statement for damages my works and career. We'll see. I will see until I retire. WWE board chair, WWE stock. He wants to be the WWE board chair. He wants WWE stock. And he wants forever work on business topics. He wants removed business topics. Return all ships and plunder. Yeah, this is a complete whack job. There he is. Now when you look at it, I think we realize now, I just noticed something. Look at the handwriting here. Look at the handwriting. Now look at him printing his name. This looks like somebody that actually like went to school, handwrote this. Maybe mommy wrote it. You look at him, it looks like a third grader wrote it. Look how he wrote his name, Anthony D. Wilson. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I just noticed that. He didn't write this argument. He had someone else write it for him. So he signed it July 31st, and it was filed, and there you go. That's the rest of it, as you can see. See, copyright infringements, trademark infringements, signature of attorney or of record. He doesn't have an attorney. I don't know who. No, that's a family member. Okay. Oh, wait, is that his name? Okay, he signed his name, Anthony Wilson. Look at the signature down here. Is that the same signature? Yeah, it is. So somebody filled this out for him, and then he just signed it, and they brought it to court. So there you go. That is the lawsuit. So now we got to call this motherfucker. Now, I don't know how good you are with typing, but maybe you could hear the digits and figure out the number. Let's see. There we go. Now, I have to put star 67 because we don't want my phone number to show up on his thing. So here, we're going to dial a number. 330 area code. That's all I'll tell you. Okay. So we got his number. Wait, I just realized something. Why am I putting it next to the microphone? It's on Bluetooth, so you can hear anything. So I got the number here. Let's call. Let's see if he answers. It might be an epic fail. Now, I got a question for everybody who's live. Should I leave a message? And should I invite him on? If he doesn't answer, should I leave him a message and invite him on? Maybe not tonight, but maybe next week. All right, let's just do this. Let's call. Let's see what happens. Hey, how you doing? Come on, Ant. Pick up the phone. I hope you don't hear. You've reached, and it says the number. Then I got it. I hope it's not. You have reached.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
You dick. Fucking mailbox is full. Let's wait a minute and we'll call him one more time. Hey, listen, if we don't get through today, on Monday for the Don Tony show, because you know what? We might be able to get through to him on Monday because Raw will be on. He'll be in that wrestling frame of mind. You know, will he be like enjoying Raw? He'll be like, you motherfuckers, I hope you land on your head. That should be my company. I should be the chairman, damn it. I should be having sex with all of these women and using my power. Come on, Lewis. Oh, thank you. Come on. Breaking news. Michael Cole and Wade Barrett have been moved to Raw. SmackDown will have Michael Cole, Kevin Patrick, and Corey Graves. Whoa. Whoa. Michael Cole and Wade Barrett have been moved to Raw. Now, Kevon Lewis is legit. He's a good friend of the family. Happy 29 months, by the way. Channel member. Kevon would not give me bullshit stuff. All right, check this out. We got a late-breaking story. Michael Cole and Wade Barrett have been moved to Raw. Oh, man. Oh, can you imagine Kevin Patrick? Welcome to Friday Night SmackDown. I have emphysema. We picked up on that shit way before Cornette and Brian Lance. I mean, with all due respect, we were talking about him sounding like he just fucked like 75 people. Kevin Patrick's always out of breath. So Michael Cole and Wade Barrett are the new commentators of Raw. And SmackDown will have Kevin Patrick, Corey Graves, and Michael Cole. Why are they putting Michael Cole on the... Kevin Patrick. I think you need to start hanging out with Giovanni Vinci. Take him out to Fridays. Michael Cole is not going to do double duty for all that long. Every time Kevin Patrick starts talking out of breath, I think there's where Michael Cole interrupts it, man. Wow. That is interesting, man. Maggie, we are doing a SummerSlam recap Sunday night, and we're doing it the same format like Kevin and I have been doing. We're going to do it live on Patreon, and then it'll be posted online for everybody else after the show's over. So, all right. Wow, so that's interesting. Wait a minute. I just thought of something, and I'm not trying to exaggerate this, but here's my first problem with it. That overhype that Michael Cole does for Roman Reigns and the bloodline and how animated he is. He's still on SmackDown, but he cannot be on both brands forever. This is just a temporary thing. You know what? I guess it's not that bad. Corey Graves will be on SmackDown now. Wade Barrett, Cole and Raw. All right. You know what? I'm liking it. You know, but the day that Michael Cole gets moved from SmackDown, I don't want to hear Kevin back. Roman Reigns. He sounds like a 9-year-old man. He can't breathe. Sounds like me if I'm on the treadmill after 2 minutes. All right. Hey, we'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. So, all right. So we got some last minute. Let's call him one more time. Let's do it one more time. Let's call. Let's see. All right. Got to always put star 67. 331 area code. 61. We'll leave it at that. All right. Let's see if he answers. If he picks up, I'll say, hey, Ant, what do you think about Michael Cole and Wade Barrett on Raw? Come on, Ant, pick up. This might be the court. You won. Yes, this is district court in Ohio. We wanted to let you know that you have won your case. The WWE is offering you a settlement. Come on, Ant. He's got a vanity search himself online. Maybe.
The mailbox is full. I cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
All right. We'll try him again on Monday. We will try him again on Monday. We'll see if he picks up. You know, look, obviously he's a hardcore wrestling fan, so I would think he probably will watch Raw. So we'll call him, like, right when we go live. Actually, that's what we'll do. Right when we go live Monday night at, like, 11.05 p.m., right after the intro, we'll call him up on the phone. So you don't have to wait an hour just to get that. We'll call him. Maybe he's still in, like, psyched up. Raw just went off the air. Maybe Randy Orton RKO's Cody Rhodes. I know what people are going to say right now. Oh, there's a report out there that Randy Orton is not cleared to wrestle. Well, maybe he could throw an RKO. Nobody's saying he's got to wrestle on Raw Monday night. We'll see. My friends, I'm out of here. I want everybody to enjoy SummerSlam tonight. If you're watching Collision, enjoy that as well. If you're watching both, enjoy them. If you're watching neither, go fuck yourself. No, seriously. I hope you could join me Sunday night. If you're not around, you know, hey, it'll be on a replay. But if you are online, maybe you want to talk a little bit about SummerSlam, even though we're going to be doing a recap. But Sunday night, we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Remember, Sundays with the sit-down, you choose the topics. So whatever you want to get into on Sunday, we will. And then, as I said, after that show is over, I will stay here and I will record with Kev your SummerSlam recap and review. And then as soon as that show is over, I will type it up, process it. We'll put it online and everybody can enjoy that as well. So, yeah, if you enjoyed the show, smash that thumbs up. My apologies that this motherfucker didn't answer his phone. But I tried and we'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. I will call him again Monday right after Raw, and we'll see if he answers, and we'll see if he talks. I think he will, and I truly believe this. I bet you any amount of money he vanity searches his name right now. So if he vanity searches his name, he's going to see my show pop up, and he's going to see that we attempted to call him up. So he will know that cocksucker is the one that called me on Saturday afternoon. So, Ant, if you see this, I say this with the utmost sincerity. I've been doing this since 1997. I ain't out to make you look like a fool. I'm not going to hit you with dumb shit. If you want to answer your phone Monday night at 11.05, 11.10 p.m., and just elaborate a little bit further. Maybe share a couple of examples of what WWE and AEW stole from you. You know, maybe elaborate what members of the Bullet Club, you know, screwed you over. You know, maybe you want to just talk a little bit more. You know, explain why we shouldn't look at you as some 40-year-old virgin whack job from Ohio. You know, plead your case. Show us. And I got news for you. If you show everyone and you make sense, and it sounds like you have a legit case, we'll be rooting for you, man. We'll be talking about it every week. We'll be like, yeah, you know, we're on the watch. Maybe we'll try to convince Vince and Tony Khan to do a settlement. You know, maybe you get like front row tickets for Crown Jewel. You know, maybe we could like pull a couple of strings. In fact, I just thought about it. I'll give you this Tatum Paxley autograph. You know, you could be part of the PAX crew. All right. I'm out of here. Enjoy SummerSlam. Let me not outstay my welcome. I will see you all again either Sunday on Patreon with Kev or Sunday for the sit-down or Monday for the DTKC show. Oh, one last thing. If Anthony Dwayne Wilson is seeing this right now, if you don't want to wait until Monday at 11:10 for me to call you, you can email me, dontony@dontony.com, or you can send me a DM on Twitter, @DontonyD. So I'd be more than happy to talk to you. Be well, everybody. Enjoy SummerSlam. I'll catch you all again soon. And enjoy your gabagool.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it.
You know, somebody just wrote in the chat room that they're going to take a dump in the ring. I actually was thinking about this the other day. A question that nobody ever asks wrestlers in interviews that I want to put out there. And if any of you out there ever get to interview wrestlers, I want you to ask this question. Because if you ask this question, I will know that, you know, it's a little shout out to me. I want to know if anybody ever got laid inside a wrestling ring. Seriously. Maybe like after the show was over and everybody left the building. Oh, I forgot something in my locker room, and you go sneak a quick one. I want to know if anybody ever got laid in the middle of the wrestling ring. So, much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.